Certainly do count it an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you this morning. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Neil in his absence, and I'm aware of the fact that there are many of you that are exhausted and sleep deprived, and hopefully you'll be able to focus with me for just a few minutes this morning as we talk about some things that will hopefully help us in our lives as Christians and in our walk with God. And Brother Dave just read for us from 1 Kings chapter 12 and verses 26 to verse 28. And it's within those verses that we find that Jeroboam, the king, he convinces the northern tribes that, you know, it's just too much to ask of them to return to Jerusalem to worship God. And instead, he seeks out wicked counsel, and he receives wicked counsel. He listens to wicked counsel. And so then what he does is he fashions together these golden idols and he introduces idolatry to the nation of Israel. Was Jeroboam right? Well, was God asking or requiring too much of them in their service, in their worship? Well, was God requiring too much of them? You know, some, they seem to want to, and they seek to worship God and serve God out of convenience instead of how He has demanded. Jeroboam used a ploy in order to keep Israel from obeying God. Do we use the same excuse today? Do we use the same excuse? Do folks use that excuse when it comes to worshiping God? When it comes to remembering the death of our Savior? When it comes to serving Him and living lives that are free of sin? Do we not use the same ploy today that God is simply just requiring too much? We may not come out and rightly say it, but our actions show that we are saying that God is simply just asking too much of us. Is it too much to serve the Lord in the way that He prescribed? The Lord had instructed them that three times a year during these annual feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, that they would travel to Jerusalem in order to worship and to serve God. And these feasts were intended to bring to their remembrance their past and to also renew their faith in God. And so, fearful of losing his leadership, he convinces them that this is just too much. What God is asking, what God is requiring, that's too much for you to go to Jerusalem three times a year to partake in these feasts. That's too much. God is requiring too much of you, and He convinced them of that. Is the Lord asking too much? Was He right in what He said and what He convinced them of? Does the Lord ask too much of us? Does He require too much of us when He demands that we, or requires that we, walk by faith? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 to verse 8, we are always confident knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Paul says and tells the Corinthians that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident that there are eternal glories that await us. And while we are on earth, we are absent from those things. But we know that they exist because we walk by faith. We live in confidence of the things that are to come. The people of the world, they're influenced by the things that they see. People of the world,
they're influenced by wealth. They're influenced by honor. They're influenced by prestige. The Christian has a firm conviction of the reality of the glories of heaven. Faith is seeing by the Spirit. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, heaven. Those things are known by the Christian. Those things are known by the child of God. Not because we're able to see them with our natural eye, but because it is by faith that we see them. Faith is believing fully. And that faith, our faith, is confirmed by our obedience to God. We can't hope for anything that God hasn't promised. And we can't, by faith, do anything that God hasn't commanded. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without the Word, there can be no faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Considering that God does not lie, it cannot be too much of Him to require or to ask that we walk by faith. Is He asking too much? What about when it comes to being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is the Lord requiring too much? We find passages of Scripture like 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 7 and 9, where He says, "To give to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And He says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." Paul says the Lord will one day, He will one day give rest to His people. And not only will He give rest to His people, but His wrath is going to be upon those who don't know Him, upon those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have rejected Him. They have rejected His instruction. They have rejected His Word. They have not been obedient to the Word. The gospel contains commands that are to be obeyed. You know, like the command to believe. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24 that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Unless you do that, you will die in your sins. You know, the Scripture, Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you. If you reject me, I'll reject you." Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish." You know, we find in Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not will be condemned." Is He asking too much with these requirements? You know, some will tell us today, "Well, you don't need to do all that. You don't need to do all those things. You just receive Him into your heart and pray this prayer, and you will be saved." And basically, and in essence, what they are saying is that the Lord, in His requirements, is asking too much of you. Are you like Israel, going to listen to the ploy of Jeroboam? That the Lord is simply just asking too much to obey His Word, to follow His instructions? His commands, they're very plain. They're very, very simple to understand. How hard do you have to try to misunderstand what Jesus says in Mark 16, 16, or in Matthew 10, or in Luke 13, or in John chapter 8? It takes effort. In John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands." When you really think about Jesus, the Lord isn't asking the impossible of us. But yet we walk by faith and we obey His Word. That we obey the gospel. We confess our faith in Jesus Christ. We see Him by faith. We'd be willing to turn from our sin. We'd be willing to be buried with Him in that watery grave. That's what the Lord requires. But some say He's asking too much. What about to be members of one body, to be members of one church? Is the Lord asking too much of us? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit are you baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches all men to be baptized in water to become a part of the same body. Regardless of whether one is a Jew, regardless of whether they are Greek, regardless of whether they are a slave or they are free, all must drink of the one Spirit to become a part of the one body. Verse 20 of this same chapter, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4 he says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling. When we look at chapter 1 of Ephesians in verses 22 and in verse 23, Christ is head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is the body. The body is the church. And there is only one. Christ built it. He died for it. It belongs to Him. And denominationalism seeks to have one head with many bodies. Christ came to join all who would be saved under one rule in one body, the church. Is that too much to ask? Is it too much of God to ask that we be united in Christ? Denominationalism is based upon division. And that's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus prayed for. We can all be members of the Lord's church if we obey His commands. You know, just think for a minute. Just think for a second. If everyone in the world, if all the religious people in the world, if they set aside their preconceived notions, they set aside their prejudices, and they just obeyed the commands of God. Think about that for a second. If God's Word was used by everyone, the unity that God wants, the unity that Jesus prayed for, would be achieved. But is God asking too much? What about for us to faithfully worship Him? Is the Lord asking too much? Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship must be from the heart. That is our theme for the month. That's what Brother Neil preached on last Sunday. We must give Him our whole heart. Our worship is to be from the heart. It must be according to His will in order for it to be acceptable to God. And what Jesus tells us here is that's what God seeks. That's what the Father seeks. And many, they fail and they stumble in their service to God, because they are disobedient in word. They seek to do what is convenient for them. God instructs us how to worship Him. And if one truly loves God, then he wouldn't use the traditions and the teachings of men, knowing that God isn't pleased with those things. And if one truly loves God, and they have given their heart to God, their entire heart, their entire being, you know, the number of services wouldn't matter. You know that whatever else is going on in the world, it wouldn't matter. We would be where we know that God is pleased.
And when it comes time to be with the saints, there wouldn't be nothing else in the world that mattered. Because we want to please God. And we're familiar with what the text says in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and verse 2 of how we are to present ourselves. We are to present ourselves as being holy, a living sacrifice unto God. That's only a reasonable servant, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you accept the ways of the Lord. That's what you accept. That's what you do. You accept His ways. You be a living, breathing, walking, talking sacrifice for the Lord. And when we accept the Lord's ways, when we give all of our heart to Him, we will worship as He instructs us to worship, in spirit and in truth. We will remember the Lord's death as He has commanded that we remember the Lord's death. We will give, we will sing, and we will do all of it according as He has instructed us to do. Not trying to wiggle out of it by saying that He just requires too much. He's asking too much. What about when it comes to living godly lives? Is the Lord asking too much? Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in our present age. God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, to reject wickedness and evil desires, to deny worldly lust, to deny those possessions and the power and the pleasures of this world. But look seriously within ourselves. Take responsibility for our soul, doing what is right and honest and fair and just in our dealings with others, being God-conscious in our service, our reverence, and in our devotion to God. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 to verse 16. You're familiar with what Paul writes there in Philippians 2 about doing things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I haven't run in vain or labored in vain. Paul says you can avoid harm, you can avoid blame, you can avoid fault. You can stand out as a Christian in a positive way. Is the Lord asking too much? We're to rise above worldliness and let our light shine. What about being faithful unto death? Is that asking too much? Is that requiring too much? Revelation 2 and verse 10, don't fear the things He tells the Christians at Smyrna that you are about to suffer. The devil's going to throw some of you in prison, that you'll be tested. You have tribulation 10 days. And He said, be faithful unto death and you'll receive a crown of life. Considering that our Lord gave His life for us, is He asking too much? He died for us and asked that we live for Him. Is He requiring too much? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and verse 8. Reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. Rather than being active in these tall tales and these fables, the child of God will be found executing, living in godliness. The blessings of God in this life, coupled with the reward in eternity, it makes all of our efforts and all of our sufferings in this life seem as nothing.
And the good steward of God, he strives and he toils with all of his might, with all of his strength, with all of his being, with all of his heart, because he trusts in the living God who promises to save all of those who believe and obey him. This wicked king said, you know, it's just too much to serve God the way that he said to do it. Was he right? Is it too much for you to do the will of the Father? But you should know that if your conclusion is, yes, what the Lord is requiring of me, what the Lord is asking of me is just too much, I'm going to give him what I'll give him, and he'll have to be satisfied with that. You need to know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who? It's he that does the will of my Father. The Lord wants us to obey him. The Lord wants our obedience. And he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Is he asking too much? He's simply asking. All he's asking is that we put him first. All he's asking is that we place him and give him first place in our life. Nothing else will do. And if we're half-hearted in our service, if we're not giving him all of our life, if we're not that living sacrifice, that anything less is unacceptable to him. And don't be deceived. God isn't. Whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. And so you may not be going around saying the words, God is asking too much. But you might be a living example of that. And you're telling others, God is asking too much. Is that you? Are you doing the will of the Father? The Father wants you to be saved. The Father wants you to follow His will. The Father wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father wants you to confess your faith in His Son. The Father wants you to repent, turn from your sin, and be buried with Christ in that watery grave, putting off the old man of sin, arising a new creature, a child of His, having been forgiven of your sins. That's what the Father wants. That's what God wants. That's what He's requiring. Will you do that? Or are you going to use Jeroboam's plea, employ, and say, no, that's too much? It may be that you've done that, but you have allowed sin to come between you and God, to separate you and God. Why not? God requires that we ask for forgiveness of those things that come between us and Him. Are the things you need to repent of today? Because you haven't been doing the will of the Father? You haven't been wholehearted in your service and in your worship to God? Things you need to be forgiven of that separates you and God. Why not do that? He isn't asking too much. He's asking that you obey Him with all of your heart. If you need to respond, would you come while we stand and sing the song?